بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آل من ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our 45th session reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawwi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab رحمهم الله, may Allah have mercy upon both of them, in the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Alama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. Tonight, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at hadith number 40 from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi. Before doing so, we want to look at some of the issues that we discussed in the previous session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 44. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 39. The main topic or subject of hadith number 39. Fadl.
Allah is pardoning his own from what was done by mistake or intentionally, the sin or act of disobedience due to forgetfulness.
Okay, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned the people of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for things that they did out of forgetfulness or mistake or under compulsion. Now, anybody else? Now,
the extreme kindness and goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us certain instances where we may go against what He tells us to do, and He still doesn't take.
The extreme kindness, goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in overlooking and pardoning the mistakes or the things that a person has done out of forgetfulness or error, in contradiction to what Allah has commanded us with. The things that a person did in disobedience to Allah, but it was due to a mistake, and Allah's kindness and forgiveness in overlooking those things. Anybody else? So the second question, who is the rawi, the narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection it is found? Who is the rawi, the narrator of the hadith in the collection in which it is found? Naam, Abdul Wali.
Ibn Abbas, it's found in Ibn Majah and Bukhari. Bayhaq.
Naam. The narrator of the hadith is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, and it's found in the collection of Al-Imam ibn Majah rahimahullah and Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah. The third question, what are the two possible meanings intended by the word ummah? What are the two possible meanings of the word? What is intended by the word ummah? Explain each and identify which is intended in this hadith. What? Naam, Adam. Two possible meanings that may be intended by the word ummah. Now,
the ummah that basically constitutes everybody that is supposed to follow the guidance of Prophet Muhammad.
Okay, the ummah that entails everybody.
That the message was sent to.
Ummah to da'wah. Naam. The people, all the people that he has sent to, were sent to call. All the people in the earth. Naam. Including? Naam.
And then the specific ummah, the ones who willingly choose to follow the message of Muhammad.
The second possible intended meaning of ummah in this hadith is the ummah, ummatu ijabah, the ummah, those people who responded, who answered the invitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, became Muslims. Naam. And which of those two meanings is intended in this hadith? Naam. Which of them is intended, the first or the second? Ummatu da'wah, ummatu ijabah. Naam. Ummat al-Ijabah. The second one is what is intended in this hadith, what is intended, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons and overlooks the mistakes and errors of the people of this ummah, meaning the people who accepted the invitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became Muslims. Naam. The next question, give an example from the sunnah of the meaning of ummah that is not intended here in this hadith. An example from the sunnah where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word ummah and he didn't intend or mean the what is intended in this hadith. The second, Naam.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by the one whose hand my soul is in, no one will hear about me, and he dies, and he didn't believe in me, he will be in the hellfire.
No one will hear about me from this ummah. From this ummah. He used the word here, this ummah. Whether they were a Yahud or a Christian, yani a Jew or a Christian. No one would hear about me from this ummah, he said. And he said, even if they were a Jew or a Christian. So the point here in this yani hadith is the Prophet ﷺ referred to all of the people that his invitation went to, whether they were including Christians and Jews and other than them, yani he referred to them, that nobody from this ummah who heard about him and that which he is sent with, and then died without believing in it, except that they would be yani from the people of the hellfire. Now, question number 5, what are the three conditions which Allah pardons a sin for the people of this ummah? The three conditions which Allah pardons the people of this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are those three conditions? Naam, one. Forgetfulness. Yani they yani did something out of forgetfulness, and Allah will pardon and forgive it. Naam, two. Zaki. Taib, the person who did something they didn't intend to do, meaning they made a mistake. Person did something mistakenly. They made a mistake. Naam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon that mistake they made, even though it was an act of disobedience to Allah. Naam. Qasim.
Someone who was forced to do or say something because they
person who was forced. Yani who was compelled to do something or say something, yani unwillingly. They were compelled. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons it. Question number 6, give a delil from the Quran which supports Allah's pardoning nisyan, forgetfulness, and khafa, mistakes, yani from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 286 ayat, and Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah and 5th ayat. Proof from the Quran, now, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you got to keep going to the place in the ayah where it's actually mentioned here. Yani, if you keep going a little bit further, then they're saying, "Rabbana," somebody help us, huh? "La tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana," or "Our Lord, do not call us to account, do not punish us in nasina if we forgot, aw akhtana, or we made a mistake." Yani, these words in this ayat yani prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon the things that the people of this ummah did mistakenly, yani, or that they did due to forgetfulness. Tayyib. The 7th question, give a delil from the Quran which supports Allah's pardoning sins done under compulsion. Yani Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th Surah, 106 ayat. Anybody remember this ayat? And whoever disbelieves in Allah after having iman, except, Allah said, except the one who is forced, while his heart is content, is at rest, is at peace with iman. Naam. So here Allah made an exception to the person who is what? Yani ukrih, yani the person who was compelled, forced to do something. The last question mentioned two fawaid, or two benefits, which the author has derived from this hadith. Two benefits the author has derived from this hadith. The first one, Fadl Abdul Wali.
Bayan, the clarification of the vastness of Allah's mercy and His kindness for the one who commits sins.
The clarification, right, of the vastness of Allah's kindness and His mercy, His goodness for the one who, yani, committed a sin. Yani mistakenly, or yani due to forgetfulness or under compulsion. Yani this shows the vastness of Allah's mercy and His kindness and His goodness, that He has yani pardoned and overlooked these things that a person has done wrongfully, but due to mistake or due to forgetfulness or due to compulsion. Now, and the second point the Shaykh mentions derived from this hadith,
that Allah has removed the sins which the Muslims forget, that due to forgetfulness.
Naam, that Allah actually removes yani the responsibility or the accountability from the Muslim who made a mistake or did something out of forgetfulness, out of compulsion. But the Shaykh said here, but what? If it's from the obligatory duties, they still have to do it. Yani the obligation doesn't go away. Person forgot, when they remember, person is compelled, when they're able, then you still have to do it. And if it was in reference to the destruction of somebody's rights or somebody's property, then they have to make up for it. Yani they have to return it or fix it or compensate for whatever has been done to a person's rights. So these are some of the matters that we dealt with last week. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're looking at hadith number 40 from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. And this discussion is on page 131 from the original book, and 132 and 133. And the Shaykh gives a moderate presentation of this hadith. So we don't have a lot of extra time, but we still, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, try to look at some of the comments as much as possible from Sheikh Salih Fawzan as well. This hadith, I want to just say, just briefly, and perhaps after the class, after the salat, when we sit, we might discuss it a little bit further. But I want to say that this hadith is one of those hadith that is not from the perspective of the Muslim is encouraged when they know that Allah is going to record for them a good deed that they intended even though they didn't do it. This is, mashallah, a tremendous encouragement and motivation. A Muslim is encouraged when they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pardon and overlook the mistakes that they made or the things that they did in compulsion. This hadith comes from a different perspective. This hadith actually is a hadith which we are made to know that we are required to do something that we might find challenging. This hadith is one of those hadith that is actually a challenge. I hope that we will take on this challenge and try to understand what is required of us, as it came in these very few words from the comprehensive speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a few words that have a lot of meaning, and that we earnestly, sincerely ask Allah's help in meeting this challenge of acting in accordance with what came in this hadith. As I say often, this is not an academic discussion here. What is intended here is that we understand our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better so that we can act better. So this hadith again is hadith number 40 from the hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi on the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with both of them, Abdullah and his father Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma. He said, that is the son of Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنكبي. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم took hold of my shoulder. فقال كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل. He said, be in this world as though you are a stranger or as though you are a traveler, a wayfarer, one just passing by. وكان ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما يقول إذا أمسيت فلا تنتظر الصباح. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he used to say, based on what he understood from this hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to say to the people, if you reach the evening, don't wait for, don't expect that you're gonna also reach the morning. وإذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء. And if you reach the morning, don't wait for or expect that you're going to also reach the evening. And then he said, and he used to say, خُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. Take from your sickness, from your health, for your sickness. وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And take from your life for your death. رواه البخاري. And this hadith is reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله. Again, this hadith is one of those magnificent, tremendous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, magnificent guidance for the people who believe. But again, it is a challenge. It requires of us to work hard, and we will not be successful except by asking for help from Allah. There is no success except from Allah. the first part of this hadith is Or the first part of the explanation of the Shaykh, and he breaks his explanation down into 5 points. The first point is the introductory part of the hadith, yani the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar that the Prophet ﷺ took him by his shoulder. The second point of his explanation deals with the actual hadith of the Prophet, be in this world as though you're a stranger or a traveler. The third and fourth points deal with the two statements of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma. Yani the two statements of Abdullah ibn Umar, where he said, and if you reach the morning or in the evening, don't expect to reach the evening. If you reach the evening, don't expect the morning. And the second statement that he made, take from your health for your sickness and from your life for your death. And the last point of his explanation are the benefits derived from the hadith. So we want to look at, primarily, we want to look at the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, and then we want to look at the two statements of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma carefully and see how they apply to me, yani to each of us individually. The Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. As far as the first statement in the hadith, أَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمَنْكَبِي, yani he said that the Messenger of Allah took me by my shoulder. He said, in this statement, the Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah, he said in this statement is تَنْبِيحٌ وَحَثٌ لَهُ عَلَى وَعْيِ مَا يُلْقَى عَلَيْهِ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَالِ. Yani in this statement is tanbih, yani calling someone's attention, وَحَفٌ لَهُ, and encouraging him, yani the Prophet ﷺ encouraging Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu to pay attention, to be attentive, to be alert to what was going to be presented to him in this condition. Yani the Prophet ﷺ took him by his shoulder as a means of getting his attention and encouraging him to be attentive to what you are about to hear. وإخبار عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما بذلك يدل على ضبطه وإتقانه ما سمعه من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن فيه تذكر الحالة التي حصلت عند سماعه هذا الحديث من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني the Shaykh says, in this hadith, there's first the tanbih and the haf, yani the calling one's attention, calling his attention and encouraging him to pay attention, to be attentive to what is about to be said to him. And in Abdullah ibn Umar informing us about this, about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking him by his shoulder when he said to him what he said, in that is an indication of his dhabt and his itqan, yani that Abdullah ibn Umar, his accuracy and his preciseness in narrating what he narrated is indicated by the fact that he's actually mentioning the condition that he was in at the time when he heard what he heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only did he remember what he said, but he remembered exactly what was happening at that time when it was being said to him. He's describing the condition that occurred at the time when he heard this hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is an indication of his precision and the accuracy of what he is recalling from what he heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second point, and by the way, some of the other scholars commenting on this, Sheikh Salih Fawzan said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking him by his shoulder, it was yani for this very reason, for him to pay attention to what he was saying to him. And Sheikh Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, it was so that he would be able to recall what the Prophet ﷺ was saying to him. So this would help him to pay attention so that he could recall, yani, what he had heard. The second point of the explanation is the core of this hadith, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٍ. Yani, be, and this is a command, yani he's ordering Abdullah ibn Umar and us and the rest of the people of this ummah who came to know of this yani command, he's ordering him and he's ordering us to be in this world as though you are a stranger in the world, a stranger in a strange place that's not your home, or that you are like one just passing through, yani a wayfarer, a passerby, a traveler just passing through the land. The Shaykh then defines what is the meaning of gharib, yani the word gharib that we have translated as stranger, and he also defines the meaning of the word abiru sabilin, that we have translated as a traveler or a passerby or a wayfarer. The Shaykh defines these two words. He says, Al-Gharib huwa al-mukim fi ghayri baladihi liqada'i hajatin yasta'iddu limugadarati thalika al-balad mata tamakkana min thalika. Yani the gharib is the mukim, the person who is resident in a land other than his own land. And he's there to fulfill some need. He's there for some purpose. He has a need. He went there for a need. He doesn't live there. It's not his home. But he's in a land that's not his own land for some purpose or some need. And then he said, يَسْتَعِدُّ لِمُغَادَرَةِ ذَلِكَ الْبَلَدِ. And he is ready to depart from that land whenever, as soon as he fulfills that need. And he doesn't intend to stay there. He just went there for some need, and he's ready to get out of there as soon as he fulfills that need. This is the person who what? He says is gharib. And he's a stranger. He's in a place for some purpose or some need, and he's just there for that need, and as soon as he fulfills it, he's out of there. He's ready to go back to his own land, to his home. That's a stranger. Yani he's in a land that's not his land. He's a stranger in that place. وَعَابِرُ السَّبِيلُ, the passerby, or the wayfarer, or the traveler. He said, عَابِرُ السَّبِيلُ هُوَ الْمُسَافِرُ الَّذِي يَمُرُّ بِالْبِلَادِ مُرُورًا دُونَ الْإِقَامَةِ دُونَ إِقَامَةٍ بِهَا حَتَّى يَنْتَهِيَ مِنْ سَفَرِهِ. Yani the Abir al-Sabil huwa, the Shaykh said, he is al-Musafir. He is a traveler. Abir al-Sabil is a person who is a traveler. He is passing through the lands, passing through different places, just passing through them. Yamurru bil-bilad mururan. Duna iqamatin biha. Without, yani residing, settling down in that place. Just, actually, he's a traveler, he's just passing through. And he's stopping over somewhere and keep on going. Get a little rest, get something to eat, take care of something, whatever is necessary. And he keeps on moving. And he continually does that until he completes his journey. Until he gets to wherever he's going. Then the Shaykh says, and this is extremely important. He said, وَدَارُ غُرْبَ وَأُبُورَ السَّبِيلِ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ هي الدنيا والسير فيها للآخرة. يعني the دار الغربة, the place where a person is a stranger in it. يعني that place that we're talking about in this hadith, that you are a stranger in that place, that's not your home, it's not your land, you're just there for some purpose, and then when you fulfill that, you're getting out of there. He said it is the dunya, it is this world. يعني for the Muslim, this dunya is not your home. It is not your land. It's just some place that you are a stranger in it. And you're just there for some need and ready to get out of there to return to your real home as soon as you fulfill the purpose of your being there. وَأُبُورَ السَّبِيلِ, the passing through, yani being in transit, crossing the lands, he said, this is السَّيْرُ فِيهَا لِلْآخِرَةِ. Yani it is a person passing through the dunya, going on to the next life. The place of Gurba, yani is the dunya. The person, the Muslim, is a stranger in this world. And the passing through, it is passing through this world. The brief, transient life in this world. Where a person is just going on, yani on a journey, to one's destination, which is the return to your home, Al-Jannah. وَذَلِكَ, doing so, being a stranger in this dunya and passing through it on the way to the next life, it is, how does it occur? The Shaykh says, ذَلِكَ إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ بِالتَّذَكُّرِ الْمَوْتِ وَقِصَرِ الْعَمَلِ وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادِ فِيهَا لِلْآخِرَةِ بِالْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. So how does a person be a stranger in this world? Or one just passing through this world on their way to the next life? He said it is by three things. بِالتَّذَكُّرْ الْمَوْتِ, by remembering death. A Muslim in this world must be reminded all the time of death. وقصر العمل, and having little hope to live long in this world. Not hoping for, anticipating, expecting to live long in this world. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the lifespan of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. That's it. That's it. And many people don't live that long, and few live longer than that. And having little hope or expectation or anticipation of living long. I'm not hoping to live long, to be in this world long. Because if you are a stranger or someone passing through, you don't expect to be there long. Rather, you are ready to move on to your destination. And the third thing he said is istidad fiha lil akhir bil amal as-salihah, that a person is in preparation while they are in this world for the next life, preparing for the next life by what? By doing al amal as-salihah, doing righteous good deeds, the things that are pleasing to Allah, that are beloved to Allah, that Allah has legislated for the Muslim to do. So how is a person, how does one be a stranger in this world? How does one be a traveler, a wayfarer, passing through this world, going on to the next life? It is by remembering death and having little hope of a long life in this world. And by what? Preparing for the next life by doing righteous deeds in the little bit of time that we're here in this dunya. I mean, this is the core of the issue. This is the core of the issue. And the Shaykh, yani, may Allah protect and preserve him, has explained this in a very concise and clear manner, that a person can take on this challenge and make an attempt to do it. Naam. Al-istidad fiha lil-akhirah bil-amal as-salihah. Preparing in this world for the next life. Preparing for the next life by doing righteous good deeds. And this is as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, in Surah 2 Baqarah, second Surah, 197th ayat, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. وَتَزَوَّدُوا, make provisions. Jazakallah khair. I needed that, and I meant to ask somebody and forgot about it completely. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. Yani, this is like the preparation in this world for the next life by doing righteous deeds is as Allah said in the Quran, He commanded us, yani, make provisions, tazawwadu, provisions for the journey to the next life. For indeed, the best of provisions is at taqwa. Taqwa, observing taqwa of Allah. That's the best provisions. Yani, the provisions that we need to be storing up for this journey is doing good deeds, righteous good deeds, preparing something so that we can move on to the next life and have something there for us. Then the Shaykh mentions, yani, one athar from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he closes this particular point. And then I'm going to look at what Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, says concerning this as well. The athar, he says, عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه أنه قال ارتحلت الدنيا مدبرة. يعني that the dunya, the world, has set out. It has departed. It's moving on. It's turned its back. It's going away from you. Backwards. وارتحلت الآخرة مقبلة. And the next life, the akhirah, has also set out, coming towards you, facing you. Yani, the dunya is leaving you, going out backwards. And the akhirah is coming towards you. This is our reality, that this dunya is leaving, going out backwards. And the next life, the akhirah, is coming forward. وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُمَا بُنُونَ. And each one of them, this world and the akhirah, both of them have children that are attached to it. Attached to the dunya or attached to the akhirah. Both of them have children. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. So therefore, be from amongst the children of the akhirah and do not be of the children of the dunya. Yani be of those people who are attached to the next life and not those who are attached to this world. فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. For indeed today, yani the life in this world is a place of doing deeds. وَلَا حِسَابٌ, where there is no hisab, accounting by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will take place in the next life. وَغَدًا, and tomorrow, the next life, yani, is the place where there will be accountability, where people will be resurrected and called to account for what they did in this world, and there will be no amal. حِسَابٌ وَلَا amal. Yani, now is the time for working, and the next life is the time for accounting. After this, the Shaykh mentions, yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, وَقَدْ أَوْضَحَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَثَلَ هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَانْتِهَائِهَا وَأَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِدَارِ قَرَارٍ بِقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا لِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا مَا أَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبٍ اسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةٍ ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا رواه الترمذي وغيره وقال حديثا حسن صحيح. The Prophet ﷺ has made clear the example, the likeness of the life in this world, al-hayat al-dunya. The Prophet ﷺ has made clear to us what is the likeness or the example of the life in this world and its ending, yani its near end. And that it is not a place of settlement. It's not a place to settle down in and to set up shop in and establish something here. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا لِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا. What do I have to do with this dunya? Yani, what is my relationship with this world? مَا أَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبٍ اِسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةٍ ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا. He said, I am not in this world except like a rider. Yani, a person riding on their animal. I am not except like the rider who seeks the shade underneath a tree for a period of time. And then he goes on and he leaves it behind. The Prophet ﷺ said, I am in this world like a rider who's traveling along and stops under the shade of a tree and then goes on and leaves it behind. Not one who became attached to it and tries to take it with them, the tree or the shade. Rather, enjoy the shade for a moment and then go on your way. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan mentions about this first part of this hadith, yani the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being this world as a stranger or like a traveler, a wayfarer, one who is passing by. Again, I'm going to try to summarize some of what he said. It's a little bit lengthy. But very important, he said, Al-Gharib, yani the stranger, is the one who is in a land other than his own land. So the stranger, if he's in a land that's not his land, he's not happy there. We have to ask ourselves, are we happy in this dunya? The stranger who's in a land other than their own land, they're not happy there. He said, they are not happy there. They do not desire to dwell there and to remain there. Rather, they are ready to return to their own land. And the dunya is not the home of the Muslim. Rather, the home of the Muslim is Al-Jannah. The Muslim is present in this dunya min ajli an ya'mal lil-Jannah. The reason for the purpose or the purpose of the existence of the Muslim in this world is for working towards the Jannah, to doing the work that will enable that person, by the permission of Allah and His mercy, to enter Jannah. So he takes his need, whatever he needs from this world, لِيَسْتَعِينَ بِهَا عَلَى عَمَلِ الْجَنَّةِ, so that he can use it to help him, to aid him, to assist him in doing the work for Jannah. That's all that he's taking from this world. Whatever can help him to do the work of Al-Jannah. As far as the Muslim seeking this world for the world itself, then this means that he would be occupying himself with that which doesn't belong to him and is not going to be lasting. Because this dunya is not for the Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ told us clearly, be in this world as though you are a stranger. And it is well known what is the condition of the stranger, the one who is in a land other than his own land. دَائِمًا يَتَذَكَّرُ وَطَنَهُ وَدَارَهُ. He's always thinking about remembering his land and his home. The person who's in a strange land, he's thinking about his home. يَحِنُّ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. He's longing and yearning for that. وَيُسْرِعُ إِلَى رُجُوعِ إِلَى بَلَدِهِ مَحْمَ أَمْكَنَهُ. And he is hastily, quickly going to return to his land whenever he's able to do so. He doesn't want to stay here. He doesn't want to be here. He's not happy in the place that's not his home. Then the Shaykh says, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ. يعني, be in this world as though you are a stranger. يعني, مثل الغريب. Be just like a stranger. Meaning, you will not be happy in this place. And you will not busy yourself and occupy yourself with this place. You will not give it your every thought and attach your heart to it. Because this is not your home. Rather, you will be in it for a limited temporary period of time, just waiting to return to your own land. The Muslim is just like that in this world. He's a stranger. Because this is not his home. The home which Allah has created for the believer is Al-Jannah. And Adam, alayhi salam, and his wife were in Jannah. Allah, yani, caused them to reside in Jannah. And then there occurred some mukhalifa, yani some mistake or error, yani contradicting the command of Allah. And they repented from it, and they regretted it. And Allah accepted their repentance, but He removed them from Jannah. And He caused them to live in this earth, in a place that is not really their home. And it's just like that for the son of Adam. For every human being, he should be yearning and longing for his home, his first home, the one that he was removed from. He should be longing to return to it. As far as the expression Abir al-Sabil, the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says, he is the traveler, the musafir. وَالْمُسَافِرْ إِنَّمَا يَسْتَرِيحْ فِي أَثْنَى سَفْرِهِ ثُمَّ يُوَاسِلَ السَّفْرِ وَلَا يَسْتَوْطِنْ. Yani, the traveler, he merely takes a rest during his journey. He'll stop over and rest for a little while, and then he goes on and continues his journey. He doesn't make the place that he stops in as his home, as his land. Rather, he's just passing through. So likewise, the Muslim should be in this world just like the traveler. He is in reality a traveler. He is not really a resident of this place. And that is because the period of his stay in this world is a short period of time. He is actually just going on to the next life. And the days and the nights take him closer and closer to the Akhirah. حَكَذَا يَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونُ حَالَةُ الْمُسْلِمِ فِي الدُّنْيَا غَرِيبًا أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. And this is the way that it is proper, befitting, expected for the condition of a Muslim to be in this world. He should be like a stranger. He should be like one just passing through, a traveler. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ حَمُّهُ الرُّجُوعِ إِلَى بَلَدِهِ. And his only concern, his real concern, should only be returning to his land. And the land of the Muslim, هي الجنة. فَيَسْتَعِدُّ لَهَا. So he's in preparation for returning to his home. وَتَكُونُ هِيَ حَمَّهُ وَمَا يُوَسِّلُهُ إِلَيْهَا. And his only concern should be that. Yani, preparation for returning to his home and whatever may help him to reach it. And this requires, yani, some thought, but we don't have a lot of time, so we're not going to dwell on it. But our concern, our real concern, should be returning to our home and whatever we can be doing that will help us to get to our destination. That should be our concern. Everything else should not be our concern. We should not be yani devoting our life and our attention, our time and our effort and our whatever we have towards anything other than the return to our home and that which helps us to reach our destination. After this, the Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he goes on to the two statements of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He mentions each of them as a point. Point number three, yani the statement, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he used to say, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ السَّبَاحِ. Yani if you reach the evening, don't wait or anticipate or expect that you're going to reach the morning. وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ الْمَسَاءِ. And if you reach the morning, don't wait for the evening. Don't anticipate. Don't expect. Don't imagine that you are guaranteed to reach the evening. In this statement, the Shaykh mentions two points. He said, in it, there's an indication of the mubadara to ashab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila tanfidh wasayat Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani in this hadith is an indication of yani the quickness or the hastiness with which the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to execute the advices of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without delay. They used to be quick in moving on it. وَفِيهِ فَضْلُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا فَإِنَّهُ مَا تَنْفِيذِهِ مَا وَصَّاهُ بِهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُرْشِدُ غَيْرَهُ إِلَى تَنْفِيذِ ذَلِكَ. Yani also in this is an indication of the virtue and the excellence of Abdullah ibn Umar. For indeed, not only did he immediately proceed to execute that which he was advised with by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went on to guide and to direct others to do so as well. Yani he then used to tell the people, after he heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to tell people, if you reach the evening, don't expect you're going to reach the morning. Get busy right now in the evening. You don't know that you're going to reach the morning. If you reach the morning, get busy. You don't know that you're going to reach the evening. Why? Because we're in this world just as a stranger or one just passing through. We have a little bit of time. The life in this world is short. And the time that we have with us, if we reach this evening, might be short. We don't know that we're going to reach the morning. The Shaykh says, the meaning of this statement, if you reach the evening, don't expect the morning. He said, and if you reach the morning, don't expect the evening. The meaning is that the Muslim yakunu mutaraqiban lil maut. That the Muslim is expecting, anticipating, awaiting death. And the Muslim doesn't imagine that they have a lot of time. Because they what? Know that death is near. يعني متركبا للموت. فهو يستعد له بالعمال الصالح بالعمل الصالح دون كسل أو تأخير. So since the Muslim is anticipating, expecting, waiting for death, then he is preparing for it by doing righteous deeds without being lazy or without delay. Yani he's quickly, energetically getting busy without being lazy and without delay. The Shaykh says, so in his night, it is as though he's not going to reach the morning. And in his day, yani it's as though he's not going to reach the night. Well, the opposite, he said it. Yani, same meaning. I mean, the opposite order. Yani, that he's doing righteous deeds in the daytime as though he's not going to reach the night. And he's busy trying to do as much as he can. Yani, anticipating that maybe I'm not going to reach the night. If I don't do it now, it's not going to get done. And the same thing in the night, he's busy doing righteous deeds as though he doesn't expect that he's going to reach the morning. And in the biography of Mansur ibn Zadan, in Tahdhib al-Kamal, book of narrators of the hadith of the Kutub al-Sitta, Hushaym ibn Bashir al-Wasiti, he says, لَوْ قِيلَ لِمَنْصُور ibn Zadan. If it had been said to this man, Mansur ibn Zadan, إِنَّ مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ عَلَى الْبَابِ. The angel of death is at the door, and he's coming for you. If it had been said to him, the angel of death is at the door, مَا كَانَ عِنْدَهُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْعَمَلِ. He wouldn't have been able to do any more extra good deeds than he was already doing. And you just think about it for a minute. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, and concerning this particular statement, the first part of the statement of Abdul ibn Umar, if you reach the evening, don't expect the morning. If you reach the morning, don't expect the evening. He said, when Abdul ibn Umar heard from the Prophet ﷺ this advice, be in this world as though you're a stranger or a traveler. When he heard this, he said to the people, to everyone, he said, if you reach the evening, don't anticipate the morning. Don't expect, don't wait as though you're going to have the morning coming. You're going to be there. And if you reach the morning, don't wait for the evening. Meaning, get busy right now. Yani, if a person reaches the morning, he shouldn't delay doing righteous deeds until the evening, saying, I'll do it tonight. Yani, I, and you can say to yourself, should not say of a righteous deed that you have the ability to do now, do it in the morning. Unless it's something that's legislated only for the morning. Rather, he should hasten to doing the good deeds. Perhaps he will not, yani, in the morning, perhaps he will not reach the evening. And if he reached the evening, he shouldn't delay doing righteous deeds. And he shouldn't delay repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He shouldn't delay until the morning, because perhaps he will not reach the morning. The Shaykh says, لَيْسَ لَكَ إِلَّا سَاعَ الَّتِي أَنْتَ فِيهَ. You don't have 1 hour. Yani, the time that you have is the time that you have right now. Yani, tomorrow is not promised. So hasten, and do not delay righteous deeds. Do not delay repentance. Do not delay seeking forgiveness to another time. Rather, do it now. After this, yani, the second statement from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ. Sheikh Abdul Musa al-Abad is commenting on this statement. وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. Take from your health, your good health, the time when you are healthy, for when you will be sick. Yani, utilize the time when you are healthy, yani, in advance, in anticipation of the time when you won't be able to do these things because of sickness. وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And take from your life for your death. Do now while you're living what you won't be able to do when you are dead. Al-ma'na, the meaning of this statement, is that the Muslim hastens to doing righteous deeds حَيْثُ يَكُونُ مُتَمَكِّنًا مِنْهَا. Whenever, wherever, however he's able to do it. The Muslim hastens to doing righteous deeds whenever they are in a position, in a condition, where they are able to do it. وَذَلِكَ فِي حَالْ صِحَتِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُ مَا يَعُوقُهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ كَالْمَرْضُ وَالْكِبْرُ. And this means that when a person is healthy, they must do those righteous deeds that they're able to do before there comes to them those things which would hinder them from doing deeds, like sickness or old age. وَأَنْ يَأْمُرَ حَيَاتَهُ بِالْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَفْجَعَهُ الْمَوْتِ. And that a person should fill their life with righteous deeds before death suddenly, unexpectedly comes to them. And then that person would go on to the place, they would go on min dar al-amal ila dar al-jaza. They would go on from the place where they are able to do deeds to the place where there will be compensation. Yani, where they will be called to account. As far as Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, this is the end of what Sheikh Abdul Muslim said, except the benefits from this hadith. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says concerning this part of the hadith, and take from your health for your sickness. He said this is from the advice of Abdullah ibn Umar. As long as a person is healthy and has well-being, while they are strong, while they are able to fast and able to stand in the night and able to go out in jihad in the way of Allah, and they're able to make da'wah to Allah, and they're able to do lots of khair, as long as a person is healthy and have well-being and able to do all of that, then they must do it. Because when a person became sick and ill, then he's not able to fast like he was when he was healthy. He's not able to stand in the night. He might not be able to do those things that he was able to do when he was healthy due to the sickness. Good health is not everlasting. So as long as a person has given, as long as Allah has given a person good health, then they must hasten to doing righteous deeds. Because there will come a time when a person will not be able to do those deeds due to sickness, or due to old age, or due to senility. And then the Shaykh says, as far as he's saying, and take from your life for your death, he said, take from your life in this dunya for the death that is coming. Istaid lil maut wa ma ba'd al maut. Prepare yourself for death and what is coming after death. Prepare for this. Indeed, Allah has given you this life and this lifespan in order for you to take advantage of it, فِيمَا يَنْفَعُكَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, to utilize it for that which will benefit you in the next life. So don't use it in lahu and la'ab, yani in amusement and playing, وَجَمَ الْحُفَامِ, and gathering and collecting the junk, the rubble and the wreckage, and the stuff of this world that has no real benefit. Rather use it, فِيمَا تَجِدُهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Use it in those things that you will find on your behalf, to your benefit, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh, he closes, Shaykh Saleh Fazan closes with these words. He said, this is a wasiyah. These two statements are a wasiyah, an advice, which Abdul ibn Umar has extracted from the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him. So it is incumbent upon the Muslim that this wasiyah should always be in front of one's eyes. Yani should always be in the forefront of one's mind. So that he should be in this world like a stranger or like a traveler just passing through. And one should not delay the righteous deeds to another time that perhaps you will not reach. And a person should not use their good health and their strength in lahu and la'ib, in amusement and play, sport and play, and amusement and entertainment. And a person should not use their life in that way, in amusement and play, because soon, very soon, he will be at loss if he didn't utilize these imkanat, these abilities and these opportunities. فِيمَا يَنْفَعُهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. A person will be at loss if they didn't utilize, take advantage of these abilities and these opportunities to use them in that which will benefit them in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what remains, is it time for the adhan already?
Yeah.
Tayyib. And so what remains, I'll be brief with what remains. The Shaykh mentions from this hadith, this is the fifth point of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad's commentary for this hadith. He said there are five points that he mentions concerning the benefits from this hadith. The first of them is al-hathu ala istishar al-gurba fi hadhi al-hayat liyasta'idda fiha bil amal as-salihah. Yani that in this hadith there is the encouragement that a person be conscious of, that they feel, that they be, yani, aware of the strangeness of the Muslim in this life, so that they will be, rather than occupied with this world, they will be preparing in this world with righteous deeds for the next life. The second point, he said, that the teacher does something which directs the student to be alert, to be attentive to what is about to be presented to him. And this is from the saying of Abdul ibn Umar, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him by his shoulder. And similar to this, yani similar to this statement, yani this second benefit, is what Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen says, in the benefits from this hadith, he says that a person does that which would be the cause to get the cause of getting the attention of the one that they are addressing, so that they will be conscious and aware and have presence of heart and mind. Now, and also He also said, similar to this, yani another point that's related, but it's not the same point. He said, this in this hadith is an indication of the excellence of the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ in making examples or parables that are convincing, that will make a person comprehend and understand yani something from the example that he's given, like the example in this particular hadith. The third point that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad says is مبادرة الصحابة إلى تنفيذ وصاية رسول الله صلى الله وصايا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, yani the hastening of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to execute the advices of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The fourth point that he mentions is فضل عبد الله بن عمر بأخذه وصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وحث غيره عليها, yani the excellence and the virtue of Abdullah bin Umar in taking hold of the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also encouraging others to do likewise. And this is similar to what Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, yani concerning this particular matter. He also said that the virtue of Abdul bin Umar radiallahu anhuma in that, and how he was affected by the yani advice or instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last point Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad mentions is حث على المبادرة الأعمال الصالحة دون الكسل دون كسل أو تأخير, يعني the encouragement of يعني hastening, being quick in doing righteous deeds, يعني without being lazy and without delay. And this is understood from the statement of Abdul bin Umar, if you reach the morning, don't wait until the evening. يعني be energetic and not lazy, and do not delay. This is similar to what Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, Sheikh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen says. He said, the second advice of Abdul bin Umar, that a person should take from their health for their sickness, that is because a person, when he is healthy, it is easier for that person to do acts of obedience and to avoid the prohibited things, as opposed to when a person is sick, it becomes more difficult. And likewise, this is the same thing, taking from one's life for one's death. And he also said, similar to this, he said it is incumbent upon the person who has intellect, who has a sound mind, as long as he is alive and he has good health, to be diligent and eager in doing righteous deeds before death overcomes him and he, yani, leaves the world where he can do deeds. Now, so these are some of the points that we were able to mention here. We're going to stop with this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any correction, we can take it now. Otherwise, if there are any comments or any questions, we'll take them after the salat. After the salat. Bi idhnillahi ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakum Allahu khairan.